Well, good morning. And regardless of what happened last night, it's still a good morning. Three weeks ago, we celebrated Memorial Day. We honored and reflected on our nation's military personnel who died while in service to our country. Last week, we observed one of two ordinances the Lord of the Church instructed us to share, communion. Both Memorial Day and the Lord's Supper ask us to remember. Our focus today is on one phrase in the Apostle Paul's instructions to Corinthian believers regarding the observance of the Lord's Supper. That phrase repeated twice is this, in remembrance of me. In these next moments, I want to explore with you what it is about this phrase that I believe makes it significant for us. It's my hope and my desire that when we're finished today, we will have been encouraged by Christ's purpose in telling us to remember. And in so doing, we'll continue to deepen our relationship with the Lord and with each other. So, turn to that familiar passage if you want, or just read the passage on the wall. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to read the first few verses, 23 through 26, the familiar passage. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Let's go to the author of this text. Father, you are the holy divine author of the text before us. We thank you for it. Thank you for using your servant Paul to pen these words to remind us of what your son did for us and his establishing of what we call the Lord's Supper. And as we think about this particular phrase, "Do this in remembrance of me," may we be reminded, refreshed, and encouraged in our walk with you. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, our focus for today is the phrase, "in remembrance of me." Jesus revealed to the apostles and then to Paul that one aspect of observing the Lord's Supper was to remember. Memories. Memories can be like a warm blanket in January with which we wrap ourselves. Friday evening, July 25th, 1969 is one of those memories for me. Christine Marie Redden said, "I do" to me on that day, and after almost 57 years, it still only seems like yesterday. Then there are other memories that are like that, like when our two children were born. Wonderful, marvelous memories. I'm guessing you have memories like that, too, that you reflect on from time to time. Of course, then there are other memories which intrude on our consciousness, reminding us of moments of pain and heartache and the frailty of life. 25 years ago, on a Tuesday morning, David, our son, and I were going to play around the golf. As I was getting ready, the phone rang. It was David. He asked if I had the television on. That Tuesday was September 11th, 2001. Most of you remember what happened, and seared into our consciences is the horror of that tragic day. Such memories, whether they be good or bad, often move us to action. You're motivated to carry through on promises made, making injustices right, or any number of other well-meaning actions because you remember and you want something good to come from those memories. Motivating memories are one very important reason that we celebrate the Lord's table. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." There's something about partaking the bread and the cup that's to stimulate our memory, to cause us to remember important truths related to our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for those memories to motivate us to action. The word translated in our Bibles, remembrance, has the concept of building or establishing a memorial, a reminder of a person or an event in the past which will encourage, motivate, and inspire us for future action. That's what memorials are to do. They commemorate the past while providing motivation for future action. In the Old Testament, God employed a variety of memorials to impress upon the people of Israel what he had accomplished for them in the past so that they would be encouraged to trust him for their future while being motivated to serve him in the present. In fact, those memorials in the Old Testament pointed to God's redemptive acts toward his people as they revolved around his character, his actions, and his promises, especially the promise of a redeemer. So on the night before he is to be sacrificed for the sins of the world, following the Passover meal, Jesus breaks the bread, offers the cup, and directs his disciples to do this in remembrance of me. Jesus established a new memorial, a new covenant based on his character, that Jesus alone, God incarnate, can be the full and final sacrifice for our sins. And his action, Jesus freely offered himself as the spotless Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And his promise, Jesus promises he will come again. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're to remember. We're to remember our Savior, his incredible, awesome, priceless gift of eternal life offered to us by faith alone. We're to remember what Jesus has accomplished for us by his death and resurrection, and to remember his promise that he is coming again. So here's a suggestion for putting this into practice. And you don't have to word it exactly like this, but it's just an idea. Think in terms of, because Jesus died on the cross for me, I am, and you can fill in the blank. Or, because Jesus died on the cross for me, I can. For instance, because Jesus died on the cross for me, I am forgiven. Because Jesus died on the cross, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because Jesus died on the cross for me, I am a child of God. Because Jesus died on the cross for me, I can boldly approach God's throne of grace. And so many more remembrances that generate gratitude as well as a motivation to take next steps with Jesus. All of that kind of remembering serves as powerful motivation for us to live our life for him now in anticipation of the fulfillment of his promise to come again. It's a motivation fueled by gratitude, love, humility, and devotion. Motivating memories. Do this in remembrance of me, as with other memorials in Scripture, not only has the observance of communion in view, but the attitudes and the actions that should flow out of such remembering. It's interesting that this passage of Scripture concludes a section of Paul's letter to the Corinthian believers where he has been reproving and correcting them for their wrong-headed and wrong-thinking activities. And this passage we almost always use when we observe the Lord's Supper is given as a means of correcting their abuse and misuse of this memorial. In fact, the subsequent statements of the apostle add to Paul's warning and correction. But before we look at those verses, let me share a thought with you. Now, I've read this passage repeatedly over the years, and for the first time, in preparation for today, one particular phrase stood out in a totally different way than ever before. In verse 23, Paul gives us a timestamp. He writes, "The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed." Why did Paul include that particular timestamp? Why not on the night he was arrested or the night before his death? Well, admittedly, I can't be certain about this. But I wonder now if Paul didn't include that word betrayal to draw a parallel between Judas's actions and the Corinthian believers' actions. The Corinthian believers were living in such a way that betrayed Christ's life within them. They were not reflecting who they were in Christ, and in so doing, they were grieving the Holy Spirit. So let's read the remainder of what Paul says about the Lord's Supper, picking back up in verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That's Paul's euphemism for they're dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, so that we may not be condemned with the world. Now, however you might understand what Paul has written here to the Corinthian believers, I believe you would agree it sounds pretty serious. He starts off by stating that our habitual partaking of these elements serves as a proclamation of the Lord's death until he comes again. What kind of proclamation does Paul have in mind? At least two thoughts. First, partaking of the Lord's Supper is for the child of God. When you partake of the cup, bread in the cup with all others present, you're tacitly proclaiming that you have put your faith alone in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life because of his death on the cross and his resurrection. The second thought is that there's a sense in Paul's use of this word for proclaiming that our lives as children of God are to bear testimony to what the Lord has done for us. The word translated proclaim in this passage is used 19 times in the New Testament, with almost every time being used to describe verbal proclamation or preaching. Included in this concept as well is a life which demonstrates, it proclaims, if you will, an understanding of the benefits of the cross to one's personal life. The New Testament epistles are filled with what it looks like to have the life of Christ lived out in each of us because of our Lord's death on the cross and the benefits of the new covenant. Here's just one, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now back to verse 26. Notice that Paul does not say, you choose to proclaim, but that you do proclaim. So the question then is this, based on what you do know and understand about the benefits of Christ's death for you, how well are you applying them to your life as you wait for his second coming? Another way of saying this is, how well does your remembrance of Christ's death motivate you to live for him? Paul considers this important. The Lord's table is not to be a ritual where kosher matzah and Welch's grape juice are ingested as no more than an afterthought to Sunday's activities. Communion is to be celebratory, yet a solemn memorial where we affirm our salvation as well as our understanding at that point of its impact on our lives. Because of this, Paul warns those believers who miss the significance of this memorial, and he commends every believer to examine his or her life, not to be sure they are saved, nor to determine if they're perfect, but to deal with whatever could cause them to partake of the bread and the cup in an unworthy manner. Spiritual growth, or the lack of it, is in view here, and proper observance of the Lord's table is an important part of growing in Christ and taking next steps. The self-examination Paul has in mind is an ongoing confession of known sin and removal of any obstacle that would hinder you in your fellowship with your God and with your brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as continual growth in our knowledge and likeness of our Savior. But where might you begin or continue? What I found fascinating as I studied these scriptures once again was the connection between what Christ found most important to share with his disciples that night before the cross and his institution of what Paul calls the Lord's Supper. Jesus demonstrated to his disciples through object lessons and commands what it meant to be like him. Over the past few weeks, Pastor Dave led us through a study of chapters 13 through 16 of John's Gospel. And it's a great place to discover just what it means to be like Jesus. Just how the salvation that is yours through Jesus Christ should be impacting your life. And you can spend time meditating on those chapters in John. I believe you will discover more about his heart and what his desire is for you as you proclaim his death until he comes. What we do when we partake of communion, we do in remembrance of Jesus. As believers, because of what we are remembering, we are to commit ourselves to proclaim his death until he comes. When we partake of the bread and the cup, we approach that time of remembering of what Christ accomplished for us by his death and resurrection, and we praise him for his love and grace. We focus on the cross of Christ and thank God he provided a Redeemer, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who came to take away our sins. And for this, we give praise and honor to our Savior. So let me emphasize one final time. The memorial of all memorials, the Lord's Supper, provides you and me with an opportunity to remember. In remembering, we examine our lives and consider how our lives reflect the character of our Lord and how we are living for him in anticipation of his second coming. As certainly as he came the first time to die on the cross, he will fulfill his promise to come again, returning at any moment. But until he returns, we're to remember and proclaim his death so that the world can know that God the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity anytime we participate in a communion service to remember and then to allow that remembrance, that memorial, that memory to motivate us at that point to draw closer to you. And in drawing closer to you, we can draw closer to brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for that reminder. Thank you for your Son. We thank you for your love. We thank you for all that in your precious Son's name. Amen. Amen. And you are dismissed.